So good to see you. My name is Chris Jones, if you don't know who I am. Pastor Joe is in San Diego. His grandson is like in the finals for state and track and field and stuff. So they went down and supported him. Go, Aiden. And so that's awesome. And I'm just one of the preachers in the bullpen, and I got tapped. So here we are. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I wish I could tell you that I spent last night on a mountain with the Lord and it was totally peaceful and I'm just soaked. But I'm moving this weekend and I spent last night cussing under my breath at an IKEA direction thing trying to put a bed together for my son. I'm like, it's 11 o'clock, I gotta preach tomorrow. And my wife's like, well, you better ask the Holy Spirit for some self-control. Amen. Right again, babe, right again. But God is good. I got out of his way first service and everything seemed to go okay, so I'll just do the same thing today. Anyway, I'm so stoked to be here, and we're preaching out of, the series is the chapter of Mark. We're going to go through Mark, and Joe's been preaching for the last couple weeks out of Mark chapter 1, so just to kind of recap on what he's been preaching about, you know, Jesus was baptized and anointed for ministry, and he immediately was driven into the desert by the Holy Spirit. I like this part about Mark. Is the Matthew and Luke say he was led by the Holy Spirit. Mark said he was driven. You know, and I get that. And I love it that he said it like that. But so Jesus was driven to the wilderness to meet with the devil and basically tie up some loose ends that Adam and Eve created in the garden. So he tried to tempt Jesus. Jesus gave him the word, you know, and obviously didn't fall. And that's awesome. That's awesome. But the King of Heaven came to earth and basically told the devil, who was the king of the earth, I'm here. I'm taking what's mine. So that had to happen before, you know, you got to remember that the whole Jesus' whole walk ends in the crucifixion. So there's things that had to be done up until that point. That was one of them. Then he began to teach in the synagogues and toward the synagogues, and he was teaching, and people were like, man, this guy's like teaching the word like I've never heard anybody teach. It was like he was there. And so he's blowing people's minds. He picks some disciples. He begins to cast out demons. And he begins to heal the sick. So after this tour of the synagogues, he comes back to Capernaum. And that's where we pick up in chapter 2, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. So these houses, and I got to see like a little bit of like how it was back then when I got to go to Italy for a couple weeks with my family and super blessed. And we went to Pompeii, and that was like a city that was buried by a volcano, and they started digging it up, and you can see these houses. They're small, but people with money, the streets right there, you go in and there's like a foyer or whatever. Sometimes there's a garden in the middle, but it separates that from their house. But the poorer people, it's right there. The street, you open the door and you're out on the street. And then, the public's going back and forth. So anyway, this is a small, lower class, whatever house. So, I mean, it's slam-packed full of people. Now, verse 3 says, some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. So, this is where it gets good. So we got four guys, and I'm just going to call it a stretcher. Okay, so they got their buddy on a stretcher, and we'll call him Jonesy, because I've been on the stretcher many, many times in my life, paralyzed by things. So, come on, Jonesy. Come on, man. They're weaving through the streets. Come on, dude. I heard Jesus is there. He's healing. He's back at Capernaum. Come on, we just got to get you to Jesus. We got to get you to Jesus. Come on, man. And they get there, and it's like, oh. There's like people coming out of the windows and the doors out into the street. So that's a little discouraging. But luckily, Jonesy had four friends that were really desperate to get him to Jesus. They were desperate. They didn't just, oh, well, you know, it's pretty crowded. The game's on. And let's try tomorrow. You know, because I don't want to wait in this line. And they didn't do that. They were desperate to get their friend to Jesus. And so they got creative, man. They, oh, come on, let's go. They made their way through the crowd. They climbed up. Usually the houses back then were flat. And they would have stairs in the back because they would actually kick it on their roofs and chill, you know. So there's stairs in the back. So I'm sure they came out. Pulled Jonesy up, man, and they started ripping away the roof. Now, the roofs were beams that went across with like mud and hay mixed together in between. So it probably wasn't too hard to rip away the ceiling, but they ripped it away, man, and they grabbed Jonesy and they lowered him down to Jesus. Now, man, those are some good friends. Amen? And like, we need to make sure, especially if you're new to Christianity or you're new to this church or whatever, or maybe you're not even a Christian, you just came to check it out today. You need people in your life that will do the unorthodox, that will go the extra for you to get to Jesus. You need people in your life that aren't going to get discouraged by the first little adversity, because there will be. You need people in your life that will rip the roof off to get you to Jesus. And it comes with a cost, because I'm sure the guy that ripped the roof off, right, he's like ripping it off. Hey, Jesus! And the guy that actually owned the house, like, hey! Who's going to fix that? Don't worry, homeboy, I'll fix it. Let me get my friend in here. See, getting people to Jesus will cost us sometimes. But it's worth it, amen? It's worth it. So, another thing I want to talk about is, are we those kind of friends? Are we willing to go that extra mile for people that are willing in our lives? And I love this church. And I when I say that, I know in my heart that a lot of you are saying, yeah, you know? This is a great church that, full of really messy people that are super grateful that they've met Jesus, that don't mind grabbing a hold of a stretcher and running with somebody to get him to Jesus. When we do that, we got to be willing to get our hands dirty. Amen? It's a messy place. Messy, messy place dealing with sinners like us. But again, it's worth it. It's worth it to get our hands dirty. It's worth to rip off the roof somewhere. Lower your friend, get him to Jesus, and pay for the cost. It's all good. It's all good. Why? Because God's good. Let's go to verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, and now, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, man, I know we've had moms and grandmas and aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters and friends praying for us. Prayed us right into the kingdom, amen? God will honor our faith. So I say that to say this. If you have family members that are struggling right now, you keep praying for them. We'll keep praying for them because we're calling them into the kingdom. They're men and women of God, and we won't give up. Jesus honors that. He honors the fact that they had the faith to go all the way and not let adversity hold them back, not let a roof hold them back. They knew that if they got their buddy to Jesus, that Jesus would heal them. That is faith. And that is an action word. They got busy. They didn't drop the stretcher. That's all I can tell you, the stretcher. They didn't drop the stretcher and go, "Oh, please, please just have the crowd leave and have Jesus just pick us out right here." You know what I'm saying? And I'm not bagging on any type of prayer at all. In fact, shoot for the stars when praying with God, because he can do all things. But these guys put their faith to work. Thank you. And that's what Jesus was stoked on. James 2:14 says this: "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that?" See, We are, like Jonathan said, we are the face of God here on earth. And it's important for us to understand that our faith should be evident. And when someone is in need, a brother or a sister, of meeting with Jesus, I believe this of our church, but I just individually, in saying that today, I hope and I pray that each one of us can set aside our busy schedule, can set aside whatever it takes to grab that person and run them to Jesus and show them our faith. Showing them our faith by our love and what can we do? What can I do to get you closer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Because I'll do it with you. I'll run with you. I'm not just going to tell you about Jesus. I want you to meet Jesus. Verse 6 says this. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts. Scribes are basically the religious hall monitors that they would send out to take tabs on Jesus. And they were there judging as he taught. So they said this, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Because remember he said, your sins are forgiven, right? That's what Jesus said to the man, the paralyzed man. Who can forgive sins but God, they said. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Excuse me. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, Jesus said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. See, Jesus is so awesome, man. I love it that I know that he's like the nicest and all that stuff, but he really does mess with these guys, the religious guys, and I love it. Okay. He takes that challenge from the scribes, like, well, he's blaspheming. And he's like, oh, I am, I? Well, check this out. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I came to redeem my people. I'll heal who I want, when I want, and how I want. Yeah, woo! And so, back then for Jews, and it really is, it kind of, how do I say this? It's still going, but let me explain something. The Jews in the Old Testament, I mean, they equated sin with disease and sickness. I mean, if you were sick or you were diseased, man, God was mad at you. And they would make them sleep outside the, you know, the camps and stuff, and they would just exile you. Well, that's another thing Jesus is kind of messing with these guys, you know, it is true. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, there was no sickness. There was no death. So sickness and death are tied to sin. But Jesus is showing them that he has that power from the Father to forgive sin, which if they're forgiven, then they can be healed, right, scribes? You know, like he covered all his bases. That's what I'm trying to say. And Jesus is interesting in healing the inner man, not just the outside of us. You know, it's wholeness he wants for us. It's wholeness the way he made us in the beginning. So, okay, now I'm going to do a little. I'm going to get down here. Oh, my God. So, Jonesy, paralyzed. It took faith. See, this is how I know the guy was willing, even in the story. It took faith for the guy to say, for the guy to get up, pick up his bed, and walk. He had to, Jesus said your sins are forgiven. Rise, pick up your bed, and walk. Oh, well, hey, Jesus, you don't get it. The things that I've done, the stuff that I've done, you don't understand. I can't get up. I've been here a long time. It's really familiar. You know what I'm saying, though? And it took faith. If you know the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. The good news is that Jesus has set us free, has torn the veil, has gives us access to God 24/7. We can claim our healings. We can take up our bed and walk. And amen. In my mind, I flipped up like a UFC fighter. But if I'd have tried that, I'd been here for 15 minutes. And you go, well, it was good, but he was flipping around on the stage for like 10 minutes. But here's the thing. You know, whatever we've done in our lives that paralyzed us, there are things that we feel like Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Woo! We flip up, bam! And we pick up our bed. God is good! And then there's things that, I mean, just the fact that we got up and picked up our bed is a miracle. And it's like, well, this is weird. This is different. Because, you know, I've been paralyzed. This is really, really weird. This is weird. Okay. Okay. So I say that because I don't want somebody to ever think that it's like a lightning bolt flash and then everything's cool. All right? I mean, I'm just being real. Now, like I said, God can heal who he wants, how he wants, however he wants. And there's times where, boom, woo, I'm changed, I'm healed. And then there's times of process, learning how to walk, picking up your bed and actually learning how to walk. And eventually, God is good. Amen. So, another thing. Oh, and don't even think, you know, let's not even start talking. You pick up your bed and walk, and then, oh, you're not walking like everybody else. Everybody else walks just fine. What's up with your walk? How come you're not totally yet? How come you're not doing that yet? You should just give up. You should just lay down. Lay back down in your stretcher. You right? So, we have to, this is, take this with you, with everything. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent. Go back to the way it should be, and believe the good news. Believe Jesus at his word. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. We need to hold on to that scripture. We need to hold on to that stuff as we're walking it out. It is not... God's in complete control. And I know that there's times in our life where we feel like, well, I'm not getting healed. And why am I not getting healed? And that person is getting healed. Well, I don't know, because I'm not God, and I'm not even going to try to go there. But I do know this. I have stuff in my life that isn't all the way healed because it keeps me chasing after God. It's like a thorn in my side that keeps me. It does whatever it's supposed to do. It shows me how bad I need Jesus. I mean, I'm messed up, guys. It's awesome I'm up here. But they looked at the bullpen and preachers were like, everybody's like busy. Look at Jonesy. Get him up there. No. Okay, I'm sidetracking. Focus. Okay, so we've talked, yeah. We talked about not giving Jesus excuses. And I'm talking to people that feel paralyzed right now. And even if you do love Jesus, there might be parts of your life where the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now going, yeah, you need to trust and believe that the kingdom of God is here. Believe my good news. Believe my good news. Pick up your bed of anger. Pick up your bed of resentment. Pick up your bed of addiction. Pick up your bed of distrust. Pick up your bed of whatever's got you held down, paralyzed. Jesus wants to heal you. He is ready and willing. Okay, so what about, one more time. What about the sins of somebody else to me? Wasn't even my fault. Ex-wife, ex-husband, somebody, if you've ever been molested, what about that guy? That changed my life. That damaged me. The infidelity in the marriage really damaged me, and I have a hard time trusting now. I'm paralyzed by this incident over here in my life. What about that? And that was what's so awesome about our Lord, because that happened to us, okay? And then we took it like on. And listen, I am not discounting anybody's experience. What happened was wrong. And I am not saying, hey, suck it up. Jesus is alive, I'm not even doing that. But what I am saying is, we take that stuff on, and where is that person? I don't know. God's going to deal with them, okay? God's going to deal with them. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, even the ones that happened against you. I'm wiping it off. I want to wipe it all away. Fresh, new. Rise up from that bed. If you trust me, pick up your bed and walk. Believe me when I say your sin is forgiven. It's so important for us because we do, don't we? We carry around baggage that really does change the course of our lives. And like I said before, some of it's our doing, bad decisions, all that other stuff. Some of it is stuff that has happened to us that changed us forever. And I know that Jesus loves us so much that he wants to lift that burden from us. He wants to lift that paralyzation that has kept us incapable of having a healthy relationship, of trusting people, of getting intimate with somebody. It's blocked us. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants you to, and this is what I see. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. You know, it's walking it out. Is it going to be, you're up and you're walking. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. You're even trying to physically tell your legs to go when Jesus says you're healed is a miracle. So don't compare yourself to anybody else and the way they're doing it. Compare yourself to Jesus and Jesus only. Amen? Because he's the most, he's the kindest, most perfect example of everything that we can take from. But I know that there's people that love Jesus in this room. There's people that don't know Jesus in this room. And there's areas of your life where you can go, yeah, I identify with that. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of not trusting my spouse or something like that. Or I'm sick of being a drug addict. I'm sick of being an alcoholic. I'm sick of being angry all the time. I'm tearing off the roof and I'm lowering you down to Jesus today. He wants to heal you of that. Now, it doesn't say in the story, because it ended, but let's be real. He picks up his bed and walks. Well, what about his four buddies up on the roof? Yeah, Jonesy! Woo! You just see it? He picked up his bed and he went home. Let's go talk to him. You know? And the four guys that brought him to Jesus, I'll tell you what. If they're anything like the people in this church, they went and rallied around him. They went and said, yeah, brother! Yeah! Right on! Let's hang out all the time. And talk about Jesus and how good he is. You know, it's community. I love this particular community here. You know, let me do this first. Let me read Mark 13, chapter 2, verse 13. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus says to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm qualified. But this is how cool Jesus is. See, that's a loaded statement. He's like, I didn't come for the righteous, but I came for the sick, for the sinners. But what does Ecclesiastes 7:20 say? Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous. No one who does what is right and never sins. Nobody. So he's, you know what I mean? He's telling the guy, I mean, it's like, dude, you're sick and you don't even know it. You know, it brings me to this point. Cool, I got 7 minutes. My hugest fear is like being done at like 12:15. Crickets. It's like a nightmare. Praise God, you got 7 minutes. Okay. So there's four different kinds of sick people. Those who are sick, know it, and want help. I can identify there. I'm sick, I know it, I need Jesus. Hallelujah. Number two is those who are sick, know it, and don't want help. I know a few people like that. I've been like that. So I just would encourage us as a church, what I've learned is when someone's sick, they know they're sick and they don't want help. Well, we keep loving them. You know, hey, you know what? When you're ready, I'm right here. I got one hand on the stretcher and there's three other people got the other side. When you're ready, brother, jump this on and we'll chase you to Jesus right now. We'll rip the roof off. You know, and I'll keep praying for you. I'll keep praying for you. Because if you notice, the people that don't want help, they don't want your help. Number three. So deep. Number three. Those who are sick don't believe they're sick and refuse to listen to the symptoms and diagnosis and want to kill the doctor for saying it. Those are the Pharisees. You know, it was like, look, you're sick. Oh, how dare you? Let's kill him. And number four is those who are sick don't know it, so they don't want help. But when presented the symptoms and diagnosis in a way they can hear, will want help. And that's what I mean by saying, brother, I got one hand on a stretcher. We want to chase you to G. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll rip the roof off. Man, I'll go to church with you every Wednesday and Sunday. You know, I got your back. Let me pray with you. See, and that's the attractiveness of being a child of God. You know? It's like, look, and there's another thing I love. I keep bragging on our church, but whatever. We're all different. That's cool. We're not cookie cutters, same kind of thing. We're all really different. Because the beautiful thing is we're the same Father, but where am I going with this? Oh, it's attractive to people that especially aren't saved or whatever to just be ourselves and not try to be somebody else. But it should be evident in our lives that we're in love with Jesus. That should be obvious by the way we live, by the way we talk, by the way we treat others, by the way we run our businesses, by the way we treat our spouses and our kids. We still, like, for example, like, I still like punk rock music. I'm probably going to like it for the rest of my life. But I love Jesus. You know, it's like I haven't changed. I have changed for the better, but I haven't, like, how do I say this? I haven't tried to turn myself into somebody else. You know what I mean? But I have. The only difference is that, man, I'm in love with Jesus Christ because he forgave me, he saved me, and I'm he's allowing me to take up my bed and walk it out with him, man. And I'm just so, so very grateful. And if I can just shine, if I can just shine my light on the people around me, praise God. You know, and attract him to Jesus, praise God. Because there's people, when they hear, when they come to us with problems, man, we can give them love, we can give them the truth, we can get them to Jesus. Amen? So one must first recognize he needs help before he's willing to ask for it or accept it. If you are not teachable, you are not reachable. And I'll end with this. Thank you, guys. But if there's anybody here, man, the Holy Spirit's been tugging on your heart since I've been preaching. I mean, you just identified with stuff. You maybe even, you've never even given your life to Jesus before. You never asked him to be your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you have, and you know you've slipped, and you just are so tired of being paralyzed that you want to just, you're saying yes to Jesus. You're saying, I repent and go back, and I believe the good news, Lord, that you've got something better for me. You've got healing for me. I'm going to pick up my bed. I'm going to walk with you, Jesus. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you're sick of being paralyzed and you want to just rededicate your life, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I see your hand. Amen. I see your hands. I see your hands. Right on. Church, let's pray together. You guys, pray after me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. Today, I pick up my bed and I walk. I repent and I believe you at your word of the good news of Jesus. Today I'm saved. Today I'm changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Right on, everybody. All right. Let me pray over you because it's lunchtime. Father God, I just thank you for the church, God. I thank you for your beautiful people. Shine your face upon them this week. May they be lights in the darkness. May they affect the world around them in a great way, God. I pray blessings over them. They're the head and not the tail. They're above and not beneath. Be with them all week, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thanks, guys.